Ballesteros have just been wonderful. I always had the desire to work in County Sligo, the land of heart's desire, because part of all, for that reason that I was in St. Nethie's College as a boarder, so consequently would have met and played football with lots of people from the county. And similarly, when I was a staff of St. Nethie's for 12 years, I would have taught many pupils, especially from Ballesteros too. So in one sense, to come here was lovely and a beautiful change to this most beautiful county.
The name Towie obviously is synonymous with Ballyhadrine. The late, great John O'Mahony would be your brother-in-law.
Oh, John was my brother-in-law, and sadly, he passed away just of last year. The family would have been deeply involved in Ballyhadrine GAA. We might be on the Mayo side, but that's irrelevant because the club, it consists of people from all different counties, and we respect whatever county they support. But I would have been involved in the club myself as chairperson while I was in the college, and also in coaching and games development over the years, not only with the club, but with Mayo for about 10 years. I was coaching and games development officer with a great team behind me.
What were the biggest challenges facing the Catholic Church in rural Ireland over your lifespan serving as a priest?
Well, there's been a massive change in the land since I was ordained in 1973, you know. In 1973, we were just after the Second Vatican Council, and there was a sort of spring in the step of the church, you know, that things were possible. And that was very true, you know. You also had the majority of people went to church in those days. But nevertheless, as society and all of that developed, you noticed a falling off, etc. So that is the way it is, and that has progressed. But what we must never forget is the goodness and the kindness of people. They're there when you need them most. And that was very evident in our own parish here of Ballesteros in recent times, following the death of an 8-year-old boy, Alan Singh, up at Lissadell Beach. If you saw the way the community turned out for the service in the Church of the Assumption in Colooney, where Father Martin Convoy did a magnificent job, but also in the way in which they lined up at the bridge down here in the village, and as a mark of respect to this beautiful boy who died well before his time. So there's that kind of change. But the society has changed dramatically too. As we got maybe wealthier and all of that, you know, people are more self-sufficient. And then, of course, you have to think of the influence of mass media and particularly of the internet and all of that, so that people sometimes find solace, consolation. They find their information on the net, and they become members of maybe little groups of one kind or another worldwide. So it's a very different time. But we live in a world which is changing. But above all, I think the church must always be a sign of hope in the times in which we live. Because this is the synodal year of hope. So we hold out hope for people, and we walk with them in the ups and downs of life, in the joys and sorrows. And quite simply, our role is maybe just to be there. It's not necessary. We do our best maybe to preach the word of God, to make it alive and active. But very often, it's just to be there and to stand with people in whatever circumstances they find themselves.
The changes in the diocese, and you would predominantly would have been based in O'Connery, yes, right throughout your career. O'Connery has recently joined up with the Diocese of Elphin. The falling number of priests is obviously a major factor. Perhaps it's one of the biggest challenges, I dare say, at the moment, facing the Catholic Church, diocese amalgamating, parishes amalgamating. Is this something that we perhaps should be preparing ourselves for when it comes to the future?
Well, I had an aunt. She was Sister Benignus, and she died in her 100th year earlier, just last year, down in Roscrea. And she used to say to me, "Tommy, it's the age of the laity." And we saw a magnificent example of that more recently when in the neighbouring diocese of Galata, 62 men and women were ordained, or if you like, or for not only funeral services, but also for other ministries, whether it's helping out the priest in bereavement counselling, in baptismal teams, and all of that. So it's a time of change. The church, in one sense, has been ill-prepared for that, but the reality is now hitting us. So that in Elphin, for many years, some of the priests are running not one, but three parishes. I would think of Father Christian McHugh up in Grange, you know. He's running Grange and two others, I think, adjoining him too. So we've been, but and in the Diocese of Achonry, whereas up to this point, there's only one parish without a priest, and that is the parish of Strade. Nevertheless, with 22 priests in active ministry in a diocese where there are 23 parishes, the changes are inevitable as we grow older. So, for example, I'm going to be moving to Ballardrine in my retirement, and with, if my health allows, I will help out as best I can. But when I was growing up, not only were there an administrator and three priests, but all the college priests, up to 10 to 12, would also assist in the parish. So that day is long gone. And so we see across the parishes big changes. But we're blessed too with the involvement of people. For example, since I came to the parish here, and not only did we rebuild the church in 2008 and 9, and also acquired a new cemetery, which is parish-owned, just like the one in Strandhill. But I wouldn't have been able to do that without the skill and the expertise of the members of the Finance Committee, the Parish Pastoral Council, and so many others in the community itself. The expertise that they bring to their own workplace, and they share them with us. So I think that is the way forward.
You've probably heard this argument and this statement put forward many times down throughout the years as a possible way maybe of attracting more people to become priests. Should there be female priests? Should priests be allowed to marry? Are they relevant to the future of the Catholic Church?
Well, of course they're relevant, you know, and all of these things are being mentioned. Celibacy is a church rule. Therefore, it could be changed. In respect of women priests, my late uncle, Father Paddy Towey, who was in Gurchin, believed that Mary, the Mother of God, was the first female priest. And he wrote a little piece about that in the Irish Times that appeared in his day. So the churches may be slow to change in that direction, but there's no question about it that women play a huge role in our church and should be given greater authority.
Social media obviously is a big factor in the modern day, and the mainstream media of the church as well. I'm thinking, for instance, of Ballyhadrine, the likes of Patsy McGarry, who was a religious correspondent with the Irish Times for many years. There's a lot of media commentators out there at the minute. In relation to media, both traditional and nowadays social media, what sort of picture do you feel are they painting of the Catholic Church? Is it relevant? Is it fair? Is it balanced?
Well, I know Patsy well, and as a sort of a religious affairs correspondent for the Irish Times, he has a job to do, which is quite simply to report on the situation. And I'm thinking particularly too at the moment of America. In the face of what Trump is doing, is it the responsibility, whether it's the New York Times, the Washington Times, quite simply the journalists there, quite simply to commentate and to analyse the situation fairly and objectively? People like that have a job to do. Now, we may disagree with what they're right, but they are doing it, I think, out of sincerity. Sometimes, of course, as members of the church, we can feel that we're unfairly treated. I suppose we have the right of reply in those circumstances. But I have never felt ill-treated in the course of my own ministry in terms of what people have said. But we live in the age of mass media, and the church must learn too, maybe, to engage with it. We have, for example, every year a Communication Sunday, and that is not just there for any reason. It's there to emphasise the importance of the mass media and the good it can do. And, for example, in this age in which we have shortage of priests, it's a means of communicating with people. And it's quite extraordinary, since we got the webcam in here a number of years ago, the number of people who have contacted me from abroad who wouldn't have known me from under the earth. And you build up a relationship with them. And then they go further and they tell you a little about themselves, maybe about their family and all of that. I don't think we should decry it, but nevertheless, we're also aware of the dangers of the mass media, particularly in respect of young people, how, for example, what they see and what they hear can influence them in a way that is not particularly good.
President Trump's era and second term as president, it's not dull to say the least. And even in the initial days when he took over that position, there was almost a conflict between himself and the church. World leaders and religion. Has the relationship, do you feel, changed there over the years?
Yes. I think world leaders have a responsibility to speak the truth, not just their own truth, but to speak the truth objectively. And quite simply, the relationship between church and state is always dodgy, you know, in some circumstances. Quite simply, even in America itself, you know, the schools and all that are not supported necessarily and funded by the state at all. So there's that independence. But nevertheless, world leaders have to speak the truth.
The role of the church in schools will probably have changed a lot significantly down throughout the years as well. Is that a source of regret for you now that, you know, in some ways maybe there are other, is the Catholic Church still active enough when it comes to schools?
Well, the church is very active in the schools. CPMSA are doing extraordinary work. And then all the number of priests and lay people who have been involved actively in the local schools is very, very important. And they give of their time and they give of their expertise. And I was chairperson of the boards of management up to the last change about 2 years, for the best part of 40 years. When I was in a little parish called Bunnycondon, there were three primary schools, just maybe 3 miles apart. Now there's down to one very fine school. But the other schools were brilliant in their day, you know. Here they were, I'm blessed that there's only one primary school. My involvement in the school has been a great source of delight. And not only have I met a wonderful group of teachers who are so committed, but also the pupils. And through them, you get to know their parents and all of that. So I think it has been invaluable. Of course, people are on the sideline now and they're talking about change. And maybe that will come about too. There is the divesting of the Catholic schools. And I suppose we have to take into consideration the changing climate, you know, with people of many and other faiths who come into Ireland itself. So there's a vast change. In Ballardreen, my home parish, for example, there's about 30 different nationalities. Here in this particular school down here, St. John's National School, there's approximately 14 or 15. And of course, we respect all schools. There may be a Catholic ethos, but we respect all pupils and all faiths and are none.
We look back over the last 18 years here in Ballysadare. You've already touched on the terrible tragedy recently in Lissadell. You will take some fantastic memories. You will probably take some memories that will forever be etched in your mind and in your heart from covering funerals, tragedies and so on and so forth. It's 18 years full of memories, good and some difficult.
Yes. Basic memories, quite simply, working with wonderful people. The people have been very kind. They've been very supportive. And it's just been a sheer joy to work here with the people of the parish. And then the high moments were maybe the rebuilding of our church, the acquiring of a new cemetery, but also then the church has been used not only for weddings during, for example, 2 years ago, just after COVID, we had 29 weddings. And a lot of people come here because, first of all, they book a venue in County Sligo. So they bring business to County Sligo. But more importantly, through that, I've got to know a huge number of people almost worldwide, you know. That's part of it. But also our church, we've had some wonderful concerts down the years. The three tenors, Sharon and Shannon. And then at the present time, there's a group that work under Eamon Lawless. Every Sunday, they go to our little parish centre here. And for 2 hours, musicians of many different abilities come together and have an enjoyable 2 hours. But then in more recent times, they put on free concerts in our church at least 3 to 4 times per year. And so it gives a platform for people maybe to develop sort of their musical talent. There's a mighty community council at the present time. They're doing great work and quietly putting structures in place, just quite simply putting Ballysadare on the scale of things.
COVID and the way that it impacted the entire world, That must have been an extraordinary time, Father Tommy.
A difficult time for everyone, young and old. And it's still a difficult time for many elderly people who haven't got over the effects of COVID and who are just slowly coming out. But it was a difficult time. I remember particularly, I was over in Attie Mass last night because of Father Steve Gibson, who has been the priest there from Notre Dame and a member of the Holy Cross Order. He's been there for the last 17 years. But in March of 2020, we were due to go over to the Father Peyton Centre in order to bring the pupils for their confirmation retreat. And they closed down maybe on the Wednesday, and then on the Thursday, all of our schools were closed down. And so from there on, it was difficult. But it also put a strain on people not being able maybe go and visit an elderly relative. And we remember all the pictures of people maybe outside the window and talking into their parents through the, you know, with an open window. And we're all aware of Golfgate and all the other things that sort of touch people's lives, maybe unfairly too. So the effects of COVID, I think, are still with us, you know. Thank God we've come out of it, and maybe it'll prepare us for other times, other days. But God willing, nothing like it will happen again.
Hopes and ambitions for the next chapter.
Well, quite simply, I hope I enjoy good health. This past year has been difficult on me, and I don't want to go into any details. But I look forward maybe to a different pace of life, to revisiting a lot of the places, because it's the place of my youth and where I was born and bred. And even though the town has changed beyond recognition, nevertheless, I know a considerable number of people. And I've been very, very happy to help Father Paul Givlin. He's just the only resident priest now in the parish. And if my health allows, I look forward to helping him and to sort of meeting new people as well as a lot of the people that I part of my growing up.
Father, thank you so much indeed for your time, and the very best of luck in the next chapter.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you.